nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide program on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is our discussion hour. And today we will be looking at the reaction from civil society organizations on the formation of the transitional government of national unity, which the cabinet was announced and also sworn in. And also they have a reaction or also an opinion about the pending formation of other key institutions in the government. And I have in the studio with me to elaborate on this members of the civil society task force in the implementation of the peace agreement. With me in the studio is the Rajab Muhandis from the he has his own organization, but of course he is here today as member of the civil society task force. And also Jame David Kolok, also a member of the task force. Welcome both of you to Radio Miraya Nationwide.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, so we had, after long waiting, the formation of the cabinet. And we are missing some wings of the government that are supposed to be announced together to form a complete organization or organism that is called the Revitalized Transitional Government of National Unity. Let me have your initial reaction to this swearing in and formation and a swearing in of the cabinet 2 days ago. Let me start with Rajab.
Okay, thank you. This formation of the cabinet of the revitalized transitional government of national unity has been long overdue since the commencement of the transitional period. And of course, citizens have been really raising questions about this and getting worried because the understanding without clear public communication was that maybe the parties were disagreeing, and the history of their disagreement and misunderstanding has never been a good one for the country. However, this formation is a welcome development for the implementation of the peace agreement, and also sends to the general public a message that the parties have been actually engaging and working on this appointment and finally now the swearing in of this cabinet ministers. Of course, unfortunately, this has taken unnecessarily too long, and we still do not have a complete transitional government of national unity at all levels. The national level, the legislature is still missing entirely, and when you get down to the state levels, the state governments and county governments are still missing for the revitalized transitional government. And of course, this creates the vacuum in the states, honestly, that we see here of lots of challenges and also intercommunal clashes in some of these states. And definitely, we have lots of tasks to implement as a country at this point. And so it's very clear that we need to have all the government organs functional to move with the speed in responding to the situation in the country.
Mm-hmm. Jame?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I would like to echo what my colleague has said. And first, let me begin by saying also congratulations to those who have made it to the government, and particularly the women that were able to take some of those critical ministries to move this country forward. Of course, like Rajab has said, it has been long overdue, and that the expectation of citizens had been very huge in terms of the leadership moving forward to making sure that they are able to form the government fully. Mm. Of course, personally, I'd expected that by now would have had the Transitional Legislative Assembly equally put in place, because of the constitutional provisions that require them to do certain roles alongside the executive. Mm. But up to now, of course, the process is still moving very slowly. We really hope that hopefully within this week something need to happen, because as Rajab said, there has been a lot of expectation, especially from our friends and brothers at the protection of civilian sites, even the refugees. The argument has been that they are looking forward to the appointment of the complete government, and they are keen also to see who are those that are going to be, for example, governors, commissioners, even Payam administrators and Boma administrators, because this is the government that is closer to the people, and they are keenly going to follow that. So if we are able to move forward quickly and put the right people in place, then possibly it will build confidence of the people to return to their homes.
Yes, thank you both of you. Now, if we can see, and you know well that there is another component that is also lagging behind, we will get back to the formation, what is lacking in the formation. But the other component, which is the security component, seems to be also moving at a snail's pace. What are you seeing there? Let me start with Jame.
Yeah, I think this is really, you know, as we know, the security arrangement has been one of the critical issues, in fact, that warranted the extension of even the 100 days. But we are a bit surprised, and obviously we have to welcome that the parties, despite the fact that the process of reunifying the forces has not actually gone as expected, they are able to form the government. However, the formation of the government really does not necessarily respond to the serious critical issues that citizens are looking at, and that is the aspect of the security provision. We hope that, I think, as the minister settles, as the government settles, we want to ensure that the process of reunifying our forces, coming up with a national army that is able to fully provide protection not only to the VIPs but protection to this country, is something that must really move as quickly as possible. Number two, obviously, there are still major concerns in terms of the fact that while we have been informed and visited some of the training sites and so on, there are still concerns that there are people who are neither in the cantonment sites nor in the training sites, and moving along in some of the villages, threatening civilians all along. And this, if we are saying, for example, Salamja, then we should be able to ensure that we have an environment that is very conducive, that has got professional army, that is able to provide security regardless of their affiliation. I think this is what we want to
see. Yes, thanks you. Let me get Rajab, yes, on that.
I really don't know why I should be talking about the security arrangements. Mm-hmm. I want to start with the simplest things. Mm-hmm. We always say...
I brought it up because to make like a complete picture, because the government essentially need to be safeguarded through the security arrangements. But we will get back to the point, yes. Essential points we are taking today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in terms of the security arrangements, of course, we were very, very much far behind schedule. Initially, the forces should have been fully trained and deployed by May 12th last year.
Yeah.
It did not work. And then it was supposed to have been accomplished by November 12th. Last year, it did not. And an extension of 100 days was made to ensure that by the 22nd of last month, the forces, the necessary unified forces, about 83,000 of them would have been trained and deployed.
Yeah.
As we speak now, training has not commenced in some of the, in fact, in most of the training centers, according to the arrangements and procedures. So that in itself is a challenge. There's progress, especially with the VIP Protection Force, but the force has not even been graduated yet. So that is in itself is a challenge.
Yeah.
But let me mention something very important. Let us assume that all these ones are difficult things to do, resources are not adequate, and so on. How about someone taking responsibility to speak to the public, to the South Sudanese public from the authorities we have, speaking to the people and giving them assurance that something is working out? Now we have the appointees. And most of them, since the commencement of the transitional period with the establishment of the presidency, quite a number of our top officials are busy celebrating, having their relatives dancing around them, and no one is communicating to the people in the villages, you know. So that in itself gives room for misinformation, for rumors, and getting the public confused and makes them lose even confidence in the peace process.
Yes.
So that mm-hmm. is where we should start.
Yes, and of course, security arrangements like were made to be a guarantor for both, like Jame was saying, for citizens and also for the officials. So feel like this is not a national army. We need to see ourselves there and all that kind of things. Now, let us go back mm-hmm. to your reaction to how this government has been formed and what are the small things that you have observed in the formation. We have the women now making noise mm-hmm. and we have people who are saying, oh yes, the youth are there, we see ourselves, but we don't know how much they are youth even. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, the agreement has been very clear that there are principles that should be observed. The principle of inclusivity, and inclusivity means a lot. It means gender inclusivity. It means generational inclusivity. That means the aged and the young should be in the government. It means regional inclusivity and so forth and so on. And so and of course, the different parties being fully represented. Now, with this formation, of course, we also acknowledge the challenges that are there. We are about 60 something tribes and ethnic communities, and definitely you cannot have everyone into this, but we have lots of complaints on these issues. However, when we come to women's representation, the agreement has been very clear and provides for the number of women, an affirmative action that the parties should have met, and somehow they fell short of this. If you read some of the provisions, there should have been at least 12 ministers who are female ministers to provide for this 35%, but that has not been adequately met. In terms of the young people, it's encouraging that there are young people in the government. And what I'm not so sure of is what number they are, but at least it's a good beginning that having they are young people in the government. Now, what matters is again what changes they will bring into the government, because they have always been complaining that they have been left out, they are not being given the opportunity. Now the opportunity has come. How do they work together to support these young people who are in the cabinet mm-hmm. to be able to deliver and represent the youth effectively and provide something new in our leadership this time?
Mm. Yeah, in fact, I personally do not expect that we will be able to have a government that is directly reflective of what the agreement is saying in terms of the question of diversity, in terms of gender, in terms of this. The reason is that I think we need to know that the current government is a product of a negotiated settlement. And this is a government that is created basically out of those who have been part of the problems that is facing this country. And therefore, the leadership of the various parties are looking forward to appoint allies and loyalists. Mm. And that is the biggest challenge. That is why it has not been easy, actually, even some of us who advocate for the right appointment to be made to go through, simply because people are still looking and rewarding those who have supported them during the process.
So you're telling us to be realistic?
I think
be pragmatic in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to me the bottom line now is that yes, you are appointed there, for example, through the government or IO, former detainees or other political parties. But the question is, how are you going to exercise that authority that is given to you? Are you going to perform your duties in consideration of you as a national minister, or you are just going to act as an affiliate of a party that has appointed you? Mm. And I think if we are dealing with the former, then probably this is what South Sudanese want to see. We believe that time has come for people to rise above party politics and stop this political bickering and contribute as national ministers to serving this country.
Yes. Listeners to Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, with a nationwide program. And I've had with me in the studio is Rajab Mohandis and Jame David Kolok, members of the Civil Society Task Force on the implementation of the peace agreement. And we are discussing the reaction to the formation of the transitional government cabinet and also the pending formation of other key institutions in the revitalized government of national unity. Now, let us look at what you refer to as the lack of formation of the legislature, mm-hmm. which is another very important wing of the government. And you have now a government that will be meeting without a legislature for some time. How do you look at this situation now? And what do you think is delaying an explanation as to why the parties and the signatories of the agreement cannot bring a total of just 500 members and put them in the legislature?
Okay, thank you. I would say, and first of all, I should say, the point you brought on the issue of the security is important, and we should not lose sight of it. It's yeah. something that will affect the implementation of the agreement if it's not really properly addressed. Mm. And so, in terms of the issue of the legislature and even the entire formation of the government, the parties were not prepared enough by the time they reached the deadline for the commencement of the transitional period. The 100 extended pre-transition period ended when they were not adequately prepared. Before the end of the pre-transition period, they should
But they
have
knew, they knew there is going to be a legislature. There are going to be members to be selected.
On their own, I think they were not actually going to conclude the pre-transitional period on the 22nd of February, because you remember it took a lot of energy from the region and the continent to get them to reach a decision, first of all, to break the deadlock on the issue of the number and boundaries of states. And so by the time they were approaching the end of the pre-transition period,
yeah.
they were still struggling
that
with
is
those
why
issues.
Things become clear.
Yes, and the issue of the appointment of the legislature was not even still at the table on their table. Mm. So they did not actually prepare adequately because they were supposed to have submitted the list of their nominees to the Transitional National Legislative Assembly to the National Constitutional Amendment Committee. Yeah. That did not happen. And even until today, some of these parties haven't submitted. The information we got was that it's only the former detainees yeah. and the other political parties that managed to do that. Mm. So they were not adequately prepared for the commencement of the pre-transition period. Number two, they are not working in a way that would demonstrate that they are seriously concerned about the situation people face in this country. They are taking their own time, and we are in a situation where we should be working day and night as South Sudanese in order to address these issues that we have. We are facing this crisis of the conflict that we are struggling to address through the agreement. And we now, as you can see, have other emerging global issues landing on us. The coronavirus is coming and so on. So there are all these multiple issues that could actually force political leaders or citizens to work day and night to ensure that we get prepared and we address some of these challenges that we have already faced, and also those that are just coming to attack us.
Yeah.
So this lack of preparedness is one issue, but also there is what one might call intra-party scramble for positions. These parties I believe the leadership of these various parties are in serious trouble.
Yeah.
And, this morning someone was telling me that his tribe was not in the government. And I say, why are you talking about yours? You should have been talking about mine. Yeah. But the issue is that there are people who are fighting to get positions as tribes, as clans, and so on. So it is putting these parties in a very difficult position with this huge number of followers and very limited positions. So this could be part of the struggle they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jame, you want to ask a quick point?
Yeah, I think, you know, before the government was formed, and especially through the process of negotiating the peace agreement, number of these groups have actually released statements of saying, actually, what we need is stability. We are fighting not because we are power hungry. We are fighting not because we want to see necessarily ourselves in the government.
Mm.
And that was the message that was coming from these different groups before they could come to the government.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think when the process of formation of the government started, we realized that they are wrong. Actually, they have demonstrated clearly they are misleading the public.
Yeah.
And obviously, we realized that the ultimate objective of whoever has taken arms against this country is to see themselves in power. Mm-hmm. And that is why when the government was announced, you still keep hearing these things of like saying our own is not represented in the government,
yeah.
Despite the fact that we supported so-and-so, we supported so-and-so.
Yeah.
So it is this kind of divisions, it is this kind of people that see themselves as being useful only in the government that is delaying the entire process. And I think absolutely Rajab is right. These guys are really going through a hell of reasoning, yeah, in terms of who should come into the government. Yeah. You don't need to annoy this and so on. The fact that the ministers have the appointment of the ministers do not necessarily represent certain communities. Those communities are saying now when it comes to the parliament, we want to see ourselves there. So this process is really taking the entire process of reconstituting the parliament very, very a long time.
Yeah, so because it is an open-end process inside, yeah, even the political parties, anyone can come there and say, this is me, this is us, and oh, we want to be in there, don't leave us out. They bring up history, they bring up a lot of legacies to justify,
yes,
the needs that there should be, because it seems the majority, that is the people, are left out of this, being left to small groups here and there to decide on behalf of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way out of this is just elections.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just elections. Now, mm-hmm, let us look at this scramble for positions and this waiting and this haggling here and there. Is it overshadowing the real tasks that are supposed to be carried out in the transitional period?
Absolutely. Mm. They are overshadowing these key tasks of the transitional period now, because we are in the transitional period. And we are in the transitional period with lots of backload of the pre-transition tasks that we have not accomplished.
Mm.
So people are locked up in the hotels, and there are also some communications that others are even fighting one another to make sure that they get into. So the political leaders are tied up in this and delaying all this time, struggling to put these institutions in place, when we're losing time to expedite the process of unification of the forces.
Mm.
We have visited the training centers, and it's our considered position from the observations that the whole process itself is not meeting the minimum requirements established by the Joint Transitional Security Committee, the Joint Defense Board, and also the entire agreement itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot of fear. If we do not have this security arrangement properly done, it may not be good for the country for many reasons, but
yeah,
I'll leave it here. And so,
yeah,
implementation of the agreement itself is lagging. But what is so important about this agreement is that, the element of us ending these issues of violence in the country, we need to be talking to ourselves as South Sudanese, giving assurance that we should reconcile, because the war will not help us.
Yeah.
And then at some point, we need to also reach out to the people out down to the states,
yeah,
and speak to them so that they understand, that things are working out for them and that there is no reason to panic or to be worried.
Yeah.
And without these things happening, you just wonder whether we are in charge of the entire process.
Yeah. Yeah, let me ask a question to Jame. Jame, you can see that you have been following the politicians in this country. You can see that the new faces are just one third or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the two thirds are old faces and a new body. And then the question is, okay, how much have people changed? How much do you expect that things will be done in a different way that will not lead us to where we have ended last time?
If a change is only measured by faces in the government, then I will say there has been no change. There has been no change because it is literally the old faces that have found themselves in the government. And the reason is exactly what I've said, that I think this government is simply a government of rewarding allies. And of course, as citizens of South Sudan, it is absolutely painful to see that, despite the fact that South Sudan has actually lost its credibility because of certain individuals in this country, lost its credibility in the region and internationally. South Sudanese would have expected people that are able to change the image of this country, so that if I go, say, to Kenya or Uganda, at least for once I will earn the respect that I used to have as a South Sudanese.
Yeah.
So this has been the hope of South Sudanese. Unfortunately, we should not lose hope.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying we should not lose hope is that this agreement is literally supposed to take us to a process that must go back to the citizen.
Yeah.
And that is the process of one constitutional making process in which the citizen will begin to tighten and do some reforms within the context of the constitution.
Yeah.
Number two, we are supposed to move towards elections. And that is a time when the power is now given back to the citizens. And that is where a citizen can take that small piece of paper called ballot to be able to have a say in terms of who should actually be in the government.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, definitely, there are challenges. We are going to continue seeing these challenges until we have such a time when we are able to really exercise our power to decide who should be in the government.
Yes, and the question is, even for Rajab, as you continue, is since you have failed for a great change of faces, how much can you advocate for a change of attitude and behaviors?
From the new arrangement, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That if you brought me here to manage these machines,
yeah,
I will never manage because I have no idea of how they function.
Mm.
The different ministries and the ministers are extensions of the office of the president. They are implementing arms of the office of the president, and so the degree to which they will perform and deliver in those ministries depends on what the presidency demands of them. And so if the presidency relaxes, and of course it appears like it's the case we have been through for quite a long time, there will be absolutely nothing we will see new. The faces don't so much matter. What matters is the target set for each of these ministers and the ministries. If these targets are not there, and nobody demands accountability of each of these ministers, they will go and sleep, some will go and relax, others will begin to mismanage public resources, and we will have nothing. So what is so important for this critical moment for us as a country is that the presidency should be on high alert and continuously, first of all, make it very clear to everyone who is in the government that this is what you are expected to do. And failure to achieve this, you face consequences. When people know that there are consequences for failures, they will change. If this is not there from the presidency, we will not expect anything better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is what we have been called impunity.
Yeah, yeah.
You
absolutely.
You fail and then you continue.
Yeah, you continue to,
on.
To
yes.
be in business. Yeah.
Yes. Let me say now it's time for involving the listeners with their SMS and also with their questions online. The lines are already busy even before I announce the call-ins.
Okay.
So let me hear from the listeners who are following, but also for those who might just be coming in just now. We are talking on Nationwide Program on Radio Maria, and I have in the studio with me members of the Civil Society Task Force on the implementation of the peace agreement, Rajab Mohandis and Jame David Kolok, and we are discussing on the pending formation of other key institutions in the revitalized transitional government of national unity as after we have had the formation of the cabinet, of course. And so that is the issue we are discussing here. Some of you might have listened to what they have been saying as to us here, and I'll be picking your calls.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Yes, Nationwide, welcome.
Gabriel Sadar.
Yes, marhaba.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling and from where?
Yeah, this is Ostaz Levy from Maridi.
Welcome, Ostaz.
Yeah. Only one question I would like to know from our guests in the studio.
Go ahead.
Right from the day one where the announcement was made of the minister, a lot of complaints were there, and up to today. I don't know. Will these complaints really help us? Will there be solution for these complaints? Because I have seen now it is taking days now, and there's nothing about it. And I don't know whether these big people are listening to the complaints of the people, whether they will act upon, whether they are doing something about it. I don't know really.
Okay.
According to them, as a civil society, do they think these people really will change their minds and maybe listen to the complaint of the people and maybe do something that can help solve the problem?
Give me an example of the complaint you have been hearing.
Okay, two examples. Mm. You see, the key ones are the old faces.
Uh-huh.
And the second one is about the youth representation.
Okay, good. Good. We got your point there. Yes, we got your point there. Thank you very much, Ustaz Levy from Meridi. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Who is calling and from where?
It's me, Jacob Dalale from Kajak.
Jacob. Welcome, Jacob.
Yes. Just only one question. Now, this woman, we're hopeful that this new sincere government will do best. But there is one challenge facing us. If the community or the region of Eastern, they ask that what is the problem? We don't have a good school, we don't have hospital, we don't have road. But there is a question come from the government. He said that we know, since 2005 up to now.
Mm-hmm.
If we know, will not be at this moment.
Okay.
If we know, this person has a lot.
Okay. Thank you for that, Jacob, from Kwajuk, you say? Yeah, thank you. Thank you there. Let me pick another caller. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Gabriel, Joseph Jadar, good evening.
Good evening. Who is calling and from where?
David McGog from WOW.
David, welcome.
I have three questions to the guests in the studio, because this program is a lovely program that we like.
Thank you.
Number one, our ministry have been given to somebody who is now beyond the article in the Constitution. He's not 35 years old. Now, are the youth going to do what? To go to the court, or do you want you to make the administration? This one. Number two, now we have seen our leaders, we have already know that they were just fighting for the position. Why? Because there is no now government on the ground. There are no governors, no commissioners. People are fighting now in Toi and in Rumbek. Now, who's security? Who is the one to take care of those people? The government is now relaxing, sleeping in the hotels and so forth. So who is supposed to be asked? That's number two.
Okay.
Number three, which criteria have been used? Because the 35 affirmative action in the agreement is supposed, when the people shift from 32 states to 10 states, is supposed to be 25 instead to be 35, because it was 35 because there were 32 states.
Mm-hmm.
And by now, the 35% remain there while the state have been reduced to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So can you clarify this so that many of us can understand it?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Magog. Magog, thank you for that. Hello? Nationwide. Yes, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Isaac, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Gabriel Joseph Chadar. I really appreciate and I have to take this opportunity to welcome our guests for this vital program.
Yeah, go ahead to your comments or questions.
Yeah, please. My first question is saying, what should be the expectation of the citizens from this family government? we do call it family government. If we are seeing the how the government has been formed, youths are not happy, because you can see many people are within a big position in the government. We are seeing how the country will roll itself to development or peace in our country. Is this the beginning where the peace will finally come to the Republic of South Sudan if we are making government be for particular people? That is my first question.
Okay.
My last question is, since we are seeing the government is saying it will be formed, they are forming one by one after each other, and now we have a lot of challenges that is taken in, mostly in the state which are supposed to be ruled by the governors. Like my state where I came from, people have died a lot. These 2 days, people are killing themselves, and no turnout from national government. My question is, who is the one manufacturing gun in the hand and distributed them to the hand of the civilian to kill themselves? Is it the civilian? Do they have factory in the Republic of South Sudan? Or they are getting it in the hand of the government or the supreme government who is ruling the country? Okay. This is my question. Because really tired of which people are killing themselves in our state.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think because of time, I will restrict the questions to this. And some SMS are saying, okay, let me see. Someone is a Bida from Ye saying he's wondering why activists like you could not be ministers and MPs and so, because he's tired of old faces. And the issue of gathering, how can the government, this is a comment on another issue of banning the government. And one is saying, Shadrach Papa from Toriti says, the challenges that facing South Sudan issue of is security not implemented will bring South Sudan to no going forward. And Ustaz Mark Bangma Yebinwa says, is asking Rajab, shall we be rewarded since corruption and war destroyed us? And a question about the appointment of governors, that is what we are not sure now, what will happen. But let me go to the two of my guests. Each one of you can pick two and respond to two of the callers. So they are in total four. So Rajab, pick your first two. Yes.
Okay, good. There are just lots of questions. And let me start with this question from David Magok from WOW. David has this concern that why do we still have 35% when the states have been reduced from 32 to 10?
Yeah.
This affirmative action was not based
it's
on
not
the
linked.
Number of
yeah,
states.
States. Yeah, it's not linked.
It was, in fact, in the discussion, I was in the negotiation during the peace talks, the proposal was 50%. Women wanted 50% representation in government. And then it was pulled down to 35 at minimum. So this is the threshold. That means we will have not less than 50% of women in positions of government. So it is not about the number of states. And then there has been this question on the Ministry of Youth he also raised the same, the same question, that the minister is above 35. We are in a political environment, and there are opportunities of people defaming themselves, you know, political opponents creating environment that may not be conducive for others. Now, our citizens should be careful about rumors. They should have justification on what they say. If someone is above a given requirement, have a justification. There are many things we can use to justify.
Yeah.
For example, birth certificates and so on to justify. And that is one. But secondly, openness to the public is extremely important. So the government and the government officials should be able to share lots of information with citizens to actually reduce the chances of such of rumors and misinformation among the public. Now, some of these things will even create hostile environment. Some of this miscommunication will create hostile environment for some of these public officials. And then the next one is about the fighting in the states. Honestly, the national government needs to be in charge of the nation. that means in charge of everything that happens in our country. And there is this genuine concern that when the government is not fully functional, there is a vacuum. There's leadership vacuum throughout the state, and that gives room for some of these things to happen. So it is important that the government formation is expedited, and then government responds to these demands. Mm-hmm. There is no peace for the ordinary citizens if people will continue to be at risk of death from intercommunal violence, from cattle raiding, and these things. So while some of this intercommunal violence were not adequately addressed in the agreement, the peace agreement would mean peace to the people when some of these things stop and they feel safer. So it is important that the government responds to this. Now, there are some of these concerns that we have a family government. What do we expect as citizens from this and so on? Now, I do not know what we would say, but I think we're not going to burn the rest of our time on the issue of the formation. Yeah. I mean, who is there?
Yeah.
The issue of old faces and new faces and so on. Now, you know that the political parties themselves have their interests and have their people whom they trust will advance their agenda.
Yeah.
And so there is no law that is broken by the political leaders when they appoint people who have been there with them before. So they have not gone against any law. So
I think something that I need to add is that, obviously, practically speaking, we are not going to dwell on now who is there, who is related to who. That is really not an issue. Mm. I think my recommendation to the youth is that, yes, they are obligated to complain, to raise issues. That is health is good. But I think let them also not only look at being in the government as being in the cabinet. I think there are number of other spaces that the young people actually need to occupy. Yeah. For example, the states, we are expecting to have the governors, we are expecting to have ministers in the states, we are expecting to have MPs in the state legislative assembly, commissioners, Payam administrators. They need to ensure that they are represented. In fact, the more you are represented at the grassroots, the better. Because that is a place where you engage directly with the people and you become even more powerful than that person that is getting the power from Juba. Lastly, I just need to make one comment, and it was a promise today I had in a discussion that brought persons with disabilities. Mm. Obviously, we have seen a lot of conversation about youth, about women, about whatever, but none of these parties have actually said something on the engagement and inclusion of persons with disabilities. That has happened through the peace process and is now happening in this government. I think our request as civil society is that while we go towards creating some of these levels of government, I think the parties need to acknowledge that the persons with disabilities need to be part and parcel of this process. After all, some of these guys, if not most of the person with disabilities, have gotten this as the consequences of this war. So if it is a question of inclusivity, who has not actually fought? So we need to take this matter seriously and ensure that we are able to take some spaces, whether it is in the national parliament, state mm-hmm. parliament, state ministers, and ensure that persons with disabilities are represented.
Yes, last 2 minutes from 1 minute and a half from Rajab, what would you like to see happening in just the next 2 weeks? Yeah.
Thank you. Let me just make one comment to Bida from Yei about why we are not in government.
Yeah.
Our mandate as civil society is not pursuing political power.
Yeah. That's why we shouldn't mix the roles.
We can't mix them. If we want to pursue political power, we will resign fully from the civil society.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be confusing the citizens and everything else. Now, then, what do we expect to see? I want to take it back to the leadership, the president and the 5 vice presidents, and of course as leaders of the various parties, that there should be a very clear work plan developed to implement this agreement, that there should be a quick review of what has been accomplished and what is not and what needs to be done, and that there should be a very clear plan on what should be accomplished, and that is assigned to the respective ministries. Without this, it will be very difficult for us to have a direction on what we want to accomplish. And then, of course, there should be resources availed to the respective ministries for implementation of activities, not for travels and treatments and vehicles.
Good enough. Corona is restricting travels.
Absolutely. So
I think this is really our position as civil society. We want to see that the 35 ministries are able to come up with the 100 days work plan. And that must be clearly communicated to the public in terms of what they think as priorities in which we are going to contribute towards that. And the public should be able to measure and evaluate the performance of this ministry. Like what Rajab has said, this time we really expect that it is not going to be business as usual. These guys need to commit to their contribution towards moving this country forward. And we ask the leadership that appointed them to be keen on that particular provision of the work plan, and whoever has not performed should get the exit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is the end of today's nationwide program with me, Gabriel Shadar, and with me in the studio were members of the Civil Society Task Force on the Implementation of the Peace Agreement. That is Rajab Mohandas and Jameh David Kolos. Thank you very much for your wonderful participation and discussion here.
You're welcome.
And all the best.
Thank you.
And that is all from me, Gabriel Shadar. Stay tuned to Radio Mariah.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mariah.